Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Heaven by journalist and eyewitness Ruth Gruber tells the dramatic, little-known story of a World War II rescue mission that brought nearly 1,000 Jewish refugees from Europe to the United States. In 1944, the Roosevelt administration created an emergency shelter at Fort Ontario in Oswego, New York, and authorized a single ship to carry refugees who had survived persecution, internment, and flight across a collapsing continent. Gruber, sent by the government as an emissary and recorder, traveled with the refugees and became a trusted presence as they navigated uncertainty about their legal status and their future. The book places this one-time experiment in the larger context of restrictive immigration policies, wartime politics, and public debate over America's responsibilities. It also stays close to the human stakes by focusing on families, children, and community leaders whose lives were suspended between rescue and return. Peset, the result is both a narrative history and a moral case study in what refuge meant during the Holocaust era. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a one-time refuge, how the Fort Ontario shelter was created. A central topic in Haven is the political and administrative invention of a wartime refuge that carefully avoided the word immigration. Gruber explains how the United States, facing pressure to respond to reports of mass murder in Europe, chose an emergency shelter model rather than opening regular immigration channels. The Fort Ontario Emergency Refugee Shelter in Oswego was framed as temporary protection for a limited group, an approach that reflected both humanitarian impulse and fear of setting precedent. This topic highlights the tension between public compassion and policy restriction, showing how the government tried to balance domestic politics, wartime priorities, and international image. The shelter's rules mattered as much as its existence. Refugees were admitted under special terms, separated from normal immigration law, and held in a guarded facility. Through this lens, the book explores how bureaucratic language can determine life chances. The creation of the shelter becomes a case study in how democratic societies sometimes offer help only when it can be tightly contained, measured, and presented as exceptional. Gruber uses the Fort Ontario experiment to raise broader questions about responsibility, capacity, and the consequences of limiting rescue to symbolic gestures. Secondly, the voyage and the selection, who was chosen and what they carried. Haven examines the rescue as a process shaped by selection, logistics, and constant uncertainty. The mission depended on identifying refugees in Europe who could be moved quickly, safely, and with minimal political friction. That reality influenced who made it onto the transport and who did not, emphasizing the painful arbitrariness of survival during the war. Gruber's reporting foregrounds what refugees brought with them beyond luggage, fragmented families, medical needs, trauma from camps and hiding, and the daily habits of people forced to become experts in endurance. The voyage itself becomes more than travel, functioning as a psychological threshold between danger and an unknown welcome. The book underscores how rescue can still feel precarious when your status is conditional and your future is undefined. This topic also highlights the role of intermediaries such as diplomats, relief workers, and military officials, whose decisions could speed or stall a life-saving departure. By tracing the movement from Europe to America, Gruber illustrates how the machinery of war and government can either crush individuals or, in rare moments, open a corridor of safety. The journey is portrayed as both physical passage and moral test for the institutions involved. Thirdly, life behind the fence, community, culture, and conflict in Oswego. Once in the United States, the refugees at Fort Ontario entered a strange middle space, protected yet confined, grateful yet anxious. Haven describes how a community formed under surveillance, with routines shaped by guards, curfews, and administrative oversight. Gruber shows how people rebuilt daily life through schooling, religious practice, mutual aid, and informal leadership, even while confronting the indignity of being treated as temporary guests rather than future citizens. This topic explores the social dynamics of a micro-society created by policy. Differences in language, national background, and wartime experience could create friction, while shared loss and shared hope push people towards solidarity. The book also pays attention to the surrounding American town, where curiosity, kindness, suspicion, and politics all influenced how the refugees were perceived. Gruber highlights the emotional contradictions of safety without freedom, and the way uncertainty about deportation shaped every decision. In documenting life at Oswego, the narrative becomes a study of resilience and adaptation, showing how displaced people preserve dignity by building institutions of their own, even when their host country has not fully decided what it owes them. Fourthly, law, promises, and precedent, the fight to stay in America. A major theme in Haven is the legal and moral struggle over what would happen when the war ended. The refugees were admitted under terms that suggested eventual return to Europe, which turned safety into a timed contract. Gruber details the pressure this created for families who had lost homes, communities, and often relatives, and who could not imagine going back to hostile or destroyed places. This topic focuses on advocacy and negotiation, how officials, lawyers, religious organizations, journalists, and sympathetic citizens debated whether the United States should convert a temporary shelter into a pathway to lawful residence. The stakes were larger than one group, because any decision would signal how America interpreted its humanitarian role. Cooper's account shows how policy arguments often hide deeper values. Fears of opening the door, concerns about public opinion, and the desire to control borders even in the face of catastrophe. The refugees' own agency matters here, as they organized, appealed, and insisted on being seen as people with futures rather than burdens. The outcome becomes a measure of national character, illustrating how refuge is not complete when it ends at physical safety and does not extend to belonging, rights, and permanence. Lastly, witness, memory, and moral clarity. Gruber's role and the book's legacy. Haven is shaped by Ruth Gruber's position as both participant and chronicler, and this topic considers what her perspective adds to Holocaust-era history. She was not writing from a distant archive alone. She had personal contact with refugees, officials, and the day-to-day realities of the mission. That proximity allows the narrative to connect policy decisions to individual consequences, turning abstract debates about quotas and wartime strategy into stories of families and children. Gruber's work also highlights the importance of witness in an era when disbelief, censorship, and denial could blunt the impact of atrocity reports. By documenting this rescue effort, she preserves evidence of both American action and American hesitation. The book's legacy lies in its ability to illuminate a rare exception and to ask why it was so rare. It encourages readers to see rescue as a chain of choices made by governments, institutions, and ordinary people. This topic also connects the story to ongoing conversations about refugees and asylum, showing how language, security concerns, and exceptional programs can be used to limit responsibility. Gruber's narrative invites reflection on what humane policy looks like when fear and politics dominate, and why memory matters when societies decide how to respond to people in flight. In conclusion, this book is best for readers interested in World War II history, Holocaust-era policy, refugee studies, and American political decision-making. It also fits book clubs and general nonfiction audiences who want a character-driven narrative that still explains the machinery of government behind life and death outcomes. The benefit is twofold. It deepens historical understanding of how limited America's doors often were, and it sharpens moral awareness of how easily humanitarian action becomes conditional, temporary, and symbolic. By following refugees from Europe to Fort Ontario and through the fight for a stable future, the story encourages readers to think about what safety actually requires, including legal status, community, and dignity. Compared with many books that focus primarily on battlefield events or on European institutions, Haven stands out because it centers a specific American rescue experiment and shows its contradictions up close. Ruth Gruber's firsthand involvement gives the narrative immediacy while still keeping the focus on broader policy implications. It is worth buying because it adds a distinct case study to Holocaust and refugee literature, offering both a gripping account and a lasting framework for evaluating present-day responses to displaced people. If you would like to support Ruth Gruber, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.